Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Good morning, early call time.
Early call time.
Today we have Brian Goldberg.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. Hi.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Howdy.
Brian is a physical production agent.
Yes. Right?
And he's actually my agent. And I thought,
oh wow,
hey, maybe we should have him on. Maybe he could have some interesting things to say about the industry.
That sounds like a pretty good idea.
Yeah, we should do that sometime.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'll see you next time.
Oh, sweet.
Well, so Brian, as a physical production agent,
yes.
How did you get there, and what could you tell the viewers or the listeners what your job entails?
Well, it entails. But how did I get here? A little bit about my backstory.
Yeah. Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Exactly. No tiki, no laundry. Originally from New Jersey, went to college and grad school in Washington D.C. Studied history, sociology, and electronic media. So history, storytelling, sociology, talking to you fine fellows, and then electronic media, physical production below the line. And then I decided, hey, do I want to get a master's? Do I want to go to law school? So I got a master's in media in public affairs at George Washington, which is pretty much lobbying. So pretty much my skill set, what I use now, is stuff that I actually learned how to do in college, which is very, very rare these days.
Did you actually do some lobbying?
I did. In D.C., I worked for a couple law firms, and I worked for a lobbying company, and I did some consulting, and I decided, hey, let's get in New Jersey and D.C. and try L.A., because I am a twin, and my twin brother's out here. He works in reality television, so I had a nice couch to sleep on for the first week I came out here for interviews, and got an opportunity to work at a big agency and started out in business affairs because I worked at a law firm, and did that for about 13 months, and then I met my partner that I work with now over at my new agency, Frank Balkin, where he kind of became my mentor.
Big up to Frank.
Mm-hmm. Another one of JJ's agents.
Yep.
So,
damn, JJ, how many agents do you have?
He has a full team. He has
full
a crew.
Team, man.
Hot damn.
Yeah.
You get on that boat.
There you go. You got a full team. You just have one. Well, I'll get back to what I did, but having a team of agents is actually fantastic because if you have one agent. This is when I was at my old agency, I did TV and I did film, and I ripped specific clients, and what would happen if something happened to me? My client would not have somebody looking out for projects and representing them. So by having a team, if something happened to me, I'm A-okay, Frank goes on vacation, he has me covering, I know everything, so we all talk. So actually having a team is probably extremely, extremely smart for anybody, and for the small, small price of your 10% agency fee, you get an entire crew looking out for you. So I don't know.
It seems worth it to me.
It's protection, and also it's other sets of eyes and other people looking out for you and other relationships that people have, because as you guys know, this is an industry that's based on relationships and callbacks and making sure, hey, it doesn't hurt if people like your agent, because I don't know, the agents don't have the best connotation sometimes.
Right. Correct.
So back to how I started. I was working at another agency and started working for Frank and became trained as his assistant, bumped up as coordinator, made agent when another agent went to another agency. So pretty much by somebody going to be a competitor of mine, who's still a friend of mine, I was able to get bumped up, and that happened in 2010. And then last year I changed companies. I'm at a boutique called WPA Worldwide Production Agency, and we have three offices. We have one in L.A., we have one in the U.K., and then we have one in Paris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do you ever get to work from Paris?
Not yet. It's the goal. I would not mind having a baguette and a small coffee and calling you from a plus cream. Whatever the exactly type of numbers. Hey, check this out. And we could do a podcast from Paris.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what the time difference is right now. So
9 hours?
It's 9 hours.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I'll have my night coffee.
Then you get to work at the Eiffel Tower every day, which is awesome.
Because that's the only thing that they have in France right now. It's just the Eiffel Tower.
That's right.
That's what I heard.
You land, you pass the Louvre, and there's the Eiffel Tower, and then you're out of Paris.
The Leaning Tower at Chiesa?
Exactly.
Is that a different place?
Maybe.
It's a couple miles south.
Was that a Goofy movie? What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You guys caught my references. It was one of the sound bites.
Now, you have is this different, but do you have a law? You have a law degree.
I do not have a law degree.
You don't? Okay.
I worked at a couple different law firms. I did business affairs, and I kind of got like my second master's by being an assistant and sucking all that in and learning business affairs. I worked for, at my old agency, it was actually kind of cool because at most big agencies, you do a specific area. So you're a business affairs person for literary, TV or film or actors or whatever. At my old agency, I did a little bit of everything. I did music deals, TV, literary, feature literary, actor deals, artist marketing deals, physical production deals. So at the end of the day, it was really a good way just to get a good education of what is out there. And at the end of the day, I don't know, I really like the physical production part of it. It's people that I want to hang out with and grab a beer with and just chill. And I don't know, it's just, are there divas? Yes, there are divas. In any industry, there's divas. But I
JJ.
I know, right?
Call him every day. I'm like, get me a deal.
Can I stop rubbing your feet now?
You should see what he has on, like, the attachment to his rider right now, what he needs for his Avid, like, so much.
Green M&Ms only.
So, I don't know, stuff like that. But it's been a fun ride so far.
So what exactly is, I mean, when you say physical production, what kind of jobs are we talking about?
We're talking about the people most of the time behind the camera, although sometimes people cross over. We're talking directors, line producers, cinematographers, production designers, costume designers, editors. Some visual effects people too. So
okay. You don't represent anybody in crafty, do you?
No crafty. But I
you keep trying.
But I do have friends that work in crafty. So
oh, perfect.
So. Close enough.
Yeah.
No, so are they looking for representation?
You want to think it's funny because I heard a story where a TV show hired a specific craft services because of their credits. Oh, well, these are the guys that worked on Seinfeld. We have to have them. They're like, these are peanut M&Ms versus cashews. Come on. It's true.
Cashews are more fancy inherently.
As you know. It depends. It came in a glass. It came in a glass, not in a plastic. So.
Nice. Ooh. Hired.
So it's stuff like that. It's kind of funny, but like that stuff actually does happen. Like, oh, well, would you like craft services that's just Mike and Molly or the people from Seinfeld?
Mike and Molly, obviously, because...
Well, they're eaters on that set.
Yeah. That's funny. Too soon.
Sorry, guys.
So stuff like that. I don't know. But it's fun because right now I'm just trying to cross a lot of people over into their other passions, if that includes writing, or I have a client that right now that I'm trying to help package his movie and get financing, and then other people that want to direct, so trying to get them into a couple more directing assignments. So, I don't know. It's more managerial and more listening, and how can we get to you where you want to be?
Well, I was going to just ask you, what's the difference between a manager and an agent?
Great question.
Thank you.
That's a lovely question.
You know the answers to that, dude.
I do.
but our listeners don't know.
You can still recognize it's a good question, though.
Let me Google that for you. Specifically, agents are allowed to make deals. Managers are not supposed to make deals. There have been a couple lawsuits recently where people's managers have agented for them, and they're trying to get their money back. I can't produce. Managers can be producers as well, so no EP credit for me on my next TV series.
Gotcha.
Is that like a union like contract that decided that? Or like what are the rules?
Well, managers have really no rules, whereas agents were with the Association of Talent Agencies and we have to be licensed as well.
Okay.
Is that
end of podcast.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'm going back home, take a nap. Goodbye.
Okay, so here's a hypothetical. Maybe I'm getting into the hypothetical.
Okay, a little too soon. Hypothetical me. Go.
So, say, for example, you know, someone goes up to you. Let's say JJ. Before JJ actually went up to you, but let's say JJ goes up to you. He's like, hey, I want to edit on a show. Like, what do you do with that information? Like
number one, at this time, do I know who JJ is? Is he a client? Does he have credits?
No, you don't know who JJ is. He has two credits that are of value at the moment.
Okay.
Sounds familiar.
And we actually, we had this discussion because at the end of the day, it depends on what type of projects you want to do. A good friend of mine who you spoke with, my buddy Johnny, he was working at E! And he was doing reality television, but more like doing like the spots and stuff for them. Mm-hmm. And he really wanted to get into scripted television narrative, but he was non-union. He did have the hours, but how does he go from that to that? Right. And we thought long and hard because usually the first credit you get is usually kind of, I don't want to say where you get pigeonholed, but it's what people recognize you for. So if you're doing a show for MTV, it's going to be something like MTV. Is it going to be a multicam? Is it going to be a comedy? Is it going to be a 1 hour? Is it going to be something for adolescents, I don't know. It's stuff like that. So we thought long and hard and said, okay, what type of show would be a good credit? Like, right now, JJ, you work on Scorpion, and And he kind of loves it.
How did you get that job, JJ?
Well, actually, I got that one on my own.
But it was via a relationship that he had, and we thought about this because does he take a job where you started off as the assistant editor?
Yep.
So you took a bump down to get on a show that you think would open a lot of doors in the future, and we talked about this because if he's assistant editing, which is not we don't commission. I know other people do. We just don't. That takes him out of the running for other 1 hours where he could potentially be the editor for. But he said, Brian, hey, I love this show, and I think there's going to be opportunities here. Can you look into that as well? So that's when we use our relationships with the studio, finding out what's happening, what type of movement's happening, and kind of like help make it happen and help place it when an opening happens that they think of not hiring somebody outside that they bump JJ up. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. Sometimes you get lucky. No, and it's fantastic because it's a great show and it's coming back. So
yeah, 24 episodes.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. Thanks. And what's better than 9 episodes or 13 episodes? 24. And you know what's even better? And when you edit the finale for the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Buddy. Yeah.
Dust the dirt off those shoulders.
If anyone wants to catch an episode of Scorpion that JJ edited, just watch the season finale. It's that big one at the end.
It's on April 20th. 9 p.m. on CBS.
There you go.
9 p.m., 8 p.m. Central.
Support your bra.
Yeah, yeah, but like what we just discussed is probably something that would be more managerial. Like a manager would help with that type of stuff because most of the time you hear an agent, like, I got a meeting for you. I got a general for you. You're getting this offer. Do you want to do this? You want me to negotiate for you? And that type of style. But with this, it's just like it's really communicating because, A, it's all about relationships, who I know, who you know. And it's kind of fun now because you're also working with another client on that show too.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's really just it's communicating. I think a lot of people have trouble. I don't know. It takes time to talk to people. And that means if it's a text, if it's an email, if some Skyping or a Facebook note, it's good information because in physical production, as you know, on a Friday, most of the time they let somebody go. So who's going to meet on a Saturday and who's going to start on the next Monday because they need somebody to be there. It's about timing and communication and also I'm very fortunate. I like my clients. I want to hang out with them and do podcasts with them on a Sunday. For me, this is something that's fun because we were talking about it earlier, but I started out in radio. I did college radio for 6 years, and I was the music director, and I had a great time at GW Radio. So it's stuff like that. I don't know. This is what it's supposed to be about. Yes, there are great days. There are long days. There are days that you just don't want to deal with the people that you're working with.
Of course.
That's reality. But at the end of the day, you also
have to get into scripted, right? Zing!
Well, you want to know something? Unscripted, scripted too. So, as we all know, so there are table reads at specific shows. Not saying what, but there it is. I don't know. You got to love what you do because in this industry, it's not a 9-to-5, as you guys know. This is really a career, and it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I've never heard of it as that, but it really is like.
It's networking. It's going to events. It's drinks. There was a time when I was an assistant. I got so tired just doing drinks and networking. I'm like, can we just get like a group together and just go on a hike or something and just have like 8 of us together and just do it that way? Just for the fact that because it's just like I'm not being able to fit in my suits anymore. Like, come on, let's make this.
I was a member of an assistance hiking group.
Oh, what was the one you were called on? There was one. It was like on Google or whatever a long time ago. A Gmail or whatever, but it stopped doing it. Like Out of Your Cave or something. I think it was called.
Oh, this was after. I mean, this was a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe.
Oh, for me, at the end of the day, it's just it's fun to spice it up a little bit. Like I was at David Buster's on Friday, and I ran into 4 managers I know, somebody I know that's at Alloy Entertainment. It was just kind of just like, why are we all here, guys? Guys, let's drink and then go play Mario Kart and just drive as fast as we can. Like it's just silly stuff.
Yeah, you get drinks not because you want to, because you have to.
You have to. It's just so loud in there.
Yeah, I remember when I was working in an agency, people would be like, oh, I hope my drink's canceled tonight. Like every day.
No, but I hope my drink's canceled because the most likely you also have a second thing of drinks. And then the third thing is like, I kind of want to go to the gym tonight.
Yeah. Or go home and watch Netflix or whatever.
You were not going to say Netflix.
I was going to name a specific show, but.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pornhub.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what.
Yeah, you like the tentacle stuff you were telling me earlier, right?
That was between us.
Oh, that was in confidence?
Well, not anymore.
All right, strike that from the record. Guys, just unlisten to that.
We could cut that out. Fix it in post.
It's like, we can edit it out, but we won't.
We won't.
But we won't.
What's, so if somebody's coming in and they're saying, I want to be a client of yours, what are you looking for? You what makes it worth it for you?
Yeah, what stage will you actually accept them?
Like, in their, you want something? There's a lot of different things. It's where they are in their career. Is this somebody that just came out of college and is extremely green? And that's when I may do a favor meeting. And just so in the future, you never know. Your PA could become the next production executive, next director, producer. You don't know. So maybe that's when I take a favor meeting just so, hey, you know, so let's keep the door open in the future. But it's really a looking at the credits, if there's something marketable there. It also depends on what the need is right now. What is the industry and the market having? Is it more multicams? Therefore, do I need more multicam people? Is it more dark 1 hours? Is it everything going to India or Vancouver? Do I need to have locals there? So it's really understanding what the business is looking for at the moment. It's also credits. Do they have marketable credits? Is it stuff that people have heard of? Because you could be a huge editor elsewhere and just it may not translate. Or DP, it may not translate. So it's recognizable credits. It's also people that people know. Who are the directors? Who are the producers? Or these are marketable names. Also, something for me is I have to like the person. I have to have, we have a meeting. So I sign people over the phone. I sign people over Skype, but I have to meet them. I have to have a good feeling about that because, you know, life is too short and it's not worth working with jerks.
Right.
So...
But you signed JJ. I don't know.
He's the biggest jerk of them all. He's King Jerk.
Yeah.
I know.
You should hear these voicemails I have from him and these rude emails. Oh, my God. You wouldn't believe them. I put them on my wall at my office, and I have, like, just a dartboard with JJ's face on it. No, but it's really that. It's knowing what's out there and understanding what is the need in my client list at right now. How many of my clients are working? If I have somebody that is like JJ who's out of the job, not working right now, maybe I have to focus a little bit more on that client than taking somebody else on because that would be not fair to my current client base. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of things that we think about. Also, we like to make phone calls. We like to do a reference check. The people that we know, the studios or producers that have worked with these people, I want to make sure that they – sometimes you're just given somebody that, okay, well, you're the new showrunner. They're there. We loved them. We didn't like them. I had to take them. So it's just doing our homework, too, because people usually be honest with us. Sometimes we'll get the phone call, hey, I want you to meet with so-and-so. Just maybe it sounds like to get them off their own phone sheet. But for us, we think references are great because if you have all these fans, a part of agenting is you will get some of your own work. That's just because you're good at what you do. But it also gives us the opportunity to sell you with your background and your credits as well. I've gotten people jobs off, hey, they went to your university as well, or they know so-and-so who's your neighbor who put in a great word. Sometimes it's a little bit about luck and timing, too. Mm-hmm. One of my clients did a movie for Blumhouse, but he was the silver medal. He did not get the offer firsthand. But I stayed on them for a couple of weeks because you never know. Those are like $3 to $5 million projects. Sometimes a $10 million project comes, that person gets that offer, and they bounce. And it actually happened. So at the end of the day, you never know. It's just staying on top of people and being a nudge, but not being a jerk and not being an asshole. It's being a resource. The way that I like to tell everybody, I'm your resource. What do you need? What are you looking for? Oh, we need this type of person. Well, you know something? I have the right person for you, but he's not available. If dates change, let me know. Otherwise, this person's fantastic, even if they're not a client of mine.
Right.
Because I want people to call me back saying, hey, Brian, we just lost our production designer. We're going to South Africa. Who do you have that... who's fast, a magician with a budget, can build tons of swing sets, and would love this type of show. And it's just knowing my clients, hanging out with my clients, knowing what their passions are, or hearing about a project, and then I call my client, hey, I heard about this. Would this something be of interest? Because when we started working together... Mm-hmm.
He's talking to JJ now.
I'm talking, I'm pointing to JJ. He's
talking to the Early Call Time podcast.
There you go.
Will you represent us?
No, but... Okay. No.
That was a quick note.
You have to tell me your advertising, show me the numbers and the budget, and we'll go from there.
We can't do any of that.
Yes. So what would an agent do for you?
Everything.
Everything. We want a show on AMC right after the comic book men. Perfect.
Right.
no, but
we'll take it.
No, but if you think about it, and I forgot exactly what was I just talking about.
When you started working with JJ, something about moving to South Africa.
But sometimes needs change. We'll hear about a project. Hey, you got to go to South Africa for 6 months. Or, hey, we have a project going to New York. Can you leave LA right now to go to New York for this long?
Right.
That's a hard part with what we do, because a lot of stuff is tax incentive based. So where in the country or in the world will A, be good for the show, but we'll get money back for the show in the future for post or visual effects or just come back to the budget. So sometimes we're looking at, hey, let me give you a call and talk to my clients. Would a show in Atlanta be a good for you right now? We have clients that don't want to take a flight that has a layover. They want a direct flight because they have family and kids, and if they wrap early on a Friday, they want to take a red eye so they could be here Saturday and Sunday fly back. That's probably one of the hardest parts of what we do right now, is just telling people, okay, well, we have this in California, but this is what's going in Louisiana and Atlanta and in Florida and elsewhere, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia. So it's really understanding that kind of you have to be a nomad nowadays, because so much has left LA. Even half-hour comedies are going to Vancouver nowadays. So,
and there's been a few times where you've asked me, well, would you like to go to New York? Would you like to go to Vancouver? And, you know, obviously I have a good opportunity here. So I was like, well, I had to pass up on those opportunities.
But needs change and things change. So that's why I talk to my clients probably every week, every other week, to some extent, just like, hey, just checking in, what's going on? Because you never know. Or even, hey, do you work with anybody cool right now? Oh, yeah, I worked with this director. Oh, that's cool. That director just got onto this pilot. Let me send your resume to him right now just so he has it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just communicating, because it really is a small industry.
Connect the dots.
That's what it really is.
Awesome. You said earlier that you have to find the need and see what's out there for whatever position. What is the need right now? Is it our dark, dark hour?
If we're talking about TV right now, TV is extremely healthy. There are multicams, there are 1 hours, there are half hours, miniseries are coming back, you have one-off MOWs, movie of the weeks. TV is very, very healthy. The feature business is different nowadays. If you look at what's in the theaters, you have movies like little horror films, like what was that one? Let the Right One In? No.
What We Do in the Shadows?
Not that one either.
I just saw that last
time. Scream?
No, that's coming to becoming a TV series.
But Annabelle?
I'm gonna hit you so hard. I'm gonna hit you so hard.
I just saw the trailer yesterday, and I'm still on.
No,
it.
But anyways, you have these little movies that are these little independent horror films that are made for like $1 million and below, and then you have these Fast and Furious 7 movies or these big $100 million plus movies. That's what I hope that the movie business gets a little bit more on the inside right there. So you do have the 30s and the 40s and $50 million movies, because if you think about it, a big chunk was direct to DVD movies. And when was the last time you guys bought a DVD? And do you even have a DVD player?
Yes.
We have one.
I don't, but it's still in the cellophane.
There you go.
What with the new tax credits and stuff that have been passed, how do you think that's going to change the scene in LA?
Probably going to start happening closer to July, like later in the summer. I'm hoping more stuff comes here, but that's going to be going to TV. I think they already allocated the money to specific movies and TV series. I would like to see more stuff going to like little independent films, because I like those. Like those, there should be more than an independent film where a client is making $200, $300 a day, especially if they're giving their craft. And if you think about it, they're specific. If you're an actor, you do it by a day here, you're a day player, you need for the entire scene. If you're an editor, you're on that project from principal and how much deeper. So you really are giving a lot more, I don't want to say more than everybody else, but your time is definitely a little bit more.
You're with the footage a lot more than most.
So at the end of the day, it really depends. So I just want clients to be treated appropriately. No jackasses on set. Enjoy and get great projects that they enjoy doing, and hopefully use that project to get to the next better, bigger project, because you never know. Industry's changing. We have Netflix, we have Hulu, we have Yahoo, we have Amazon, we have PlayStation making original content. I'm shocked that Xbox pulled out of that, because they originally were going to do that too. Mm-hmm. But I have a client that's going to be doing a web series, and this is a web series. This is not Amazon. This is not Netflix. This is a web series for a small production company. And it's going to be union, and people are going to be getting good rates. Like, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, my buddy's working on one of those right now.
So at the end of the day, for me, it's just really just the opportunities there, but I also want clients to be treated fairly and paid accordingly, because, yes, the industry is changing, but it should also change for the good.
Yeah.
Do you see more shows coming back to L.A. if the I mean, if there was more tax money that was, I mean, would people literally just pull out of?
I do, but then the question is, where's the studio space? Because you got Warner Brothers and Universal and CBS, and the stages are filled. You really
I know. Even for us, it was like we got to go to Santa Clarita.
You got to go to Santa Clarita right now, which is fantastic. Depending on the time that you're going, with traffic or no traffic, and if your Six Flags card still works. So,
right.
So it's that type of stuff. But in New York, they had to build stages because New York has a great tax credit. So that's where they're doing all the Marvel shows right now in Brooklyn. They built stages. So I think they would need to build more stages, or you'll be seeing more people go to more mom and pops, like smaller places where it's just one show right here. It's just going to have to fit the need.
Yeah. How big of a place do you need for a studio? Because I think we could probably rent this out.
Our podcast studio?
Yeah.
This would be strictly for pornography, probably.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, perfect. You guys are on the couch. That there you go. This,
welcome to the casting couch, right? Here we go.
That's it.
So how did you get in this business, and how badly do you want it? What would you do so I can make you a star?
You just go ahead and pop that top off.
Hey, guys, trust me. I'm a professional.
So, in terms of like the trends changing, like how quickly and how rapidly do they change? Is it like
it's what's successful? Like honestly,
well, like you said, like TV is like healthy right now. Like how long has it been healthy for?
Well, if you think about, I don't know the future. My crystal ball's broken, but
features.
Yeah,
you have a crystal ball.
I do. I have one crystal ball.
That's how it's done.
It's in the shop right now.
It's just one crystal ball.
It's in the shop. Oh,
don't play soccer, guys. That's how you get a crystal ball. I don't know what's going to happen with features. I'm seeing it getting healthier, which is fantastic, but I just want to see budgets get a little bit bigger because that's just good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean you have to have a bunch of $100 million movies. A while ago, a couple of studios said, hey, listen, we have $10 million, and instead of making one $10 million movie or two $5 million movies, we'll make 10 $1 million movies. And it's a good way to make a gamble. So with these $100 million movies, you could be a huge success like Fast, which thank God, because that's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes, you know, with these big $100 million movies, it could really hurt a studio. So for me, at the end of the day, it's just it's being smart. And if you even look what this past pilot season has ordered, we have Minority Report, the TV pilot. We have Rush Hour, the TV pilot. We have Problem Child, the TV pilot.
Jesus.
There's a lot of stuff that's trying to be repurposed right now that was previously
so many
features.
Reboots.
But if you think about it, there have been other shows that have done this that have been successful. So look at Sci-Fi Channel right now. You have 12 Monkeys, a show. That's super fun, and it's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movie called Legion about the angels that fought other angels there on season two called Dominion for Sci-Fi. So it's been done before, and it could be successful, and it's a good way to save the property in that company. But it's otherwise, look, you have the CSIs, you have NCISs, you have these shows that are successful, and then you have Modern Family. So what do? We have Modern Family, and then there are people say that there are other shows that are like them. You have Off the Boat, you have Blackish. So it's a very similar style show and a similar concept, but it's, I don't know, if something's successful, they do it. You have Chicago Fire, then you have the spinoff Chicago PD, and now potentially Chicago Med. That's what happens. My question is, what's going to happen when the bubble burst, maybe? Like, for me, I don't know, there's just so much... There's great stuff on TV, but is there enough time in the day to actually watch everything? Or you have Netflix where you could binge watch everything, but now they're coming out with new series every week, every other week.
Yeah.
So it's really, really hard to stay on top of everything.
Is it possible that it could get oversaturated and there's just too much content to...
Possible.
And then what happens?
Is
that bad for the industry, or is it just there are more options for people to watch, or how do you...
But it used to be there were four networks and everybody watched four networks. Now you're able to... you guys, you watch what? HBO, Showtime, AMC, FX. If you think about that,
pretty much
that,
yeah.
and ABC Family for Stitchers and Scorpion over at CBS. You watch these networks. But I think nowadays people know what they like. People are not dumb, so they will find what exactly that interests them. Listen, I'm 32. I've never rode a motorcycle, but Sons of Anarchy was extremely compelling to me. And I watched it from season one until it wrapped. So it's stuff like that. I think people are smart. People know what they want to watch. And I think with the internet will either make you or break you. Twitter will make you or break you. Look at Pretty Little Liars. Pretty Little Liars.
Mm-hmm.
You have everybody on Twitter talking with people with the show broadcast live. So at the end of the day, it's also having a touch with the creators of the show and the people a part of it, because I think people are not dumb. Like, You can't feed them the same crap over and over. So yeah. It better get better.
I'm on board with that.
And that's what, look, if you look what's happening to TV, how many feature actors are going to television? How many feature writers and directors are going to television? You could still have a business there.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to get a movie off the ground.
Yes.
Do you see a lot of feature editors going to TV as I'm seeing them more going and cutting pilots. Do you think that's a good idea, or do you think that's a...
Well, it's, if you think about it, it's different, because usually mm-hmm. who's directing a pilot? A, it's either going to be a pilot director that has a great resume yeah. or it's the Favreaus and other people coming to do them, mm-hmm. and they're going to want their crew.
Yeah.
So if you want me to be your director for this pilot, and you want it to be successful, so hopefully it gets on the air as a series, you got to give me my team.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, sometimes people of the team will not do it for the money. If you're mm-hmm. cutting a big $100 million movie, you could be editing, making $15,000 or whatever, $17,000, whatever, per week. A TV pilot will not do that.
No.
What they may say is, listen, you're fantastic. We love you. There was a DP that did a pilot for a cable network a few years ago, and they said, listen, if you shoot the pilot, this is what we'll pay. And they gave him a little bit more than normal TV DPs make, mm-hmm. but then they offered him an episode direct of the series. So,
nice.
So there are ways to
barter in a way,
massage it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hmm. Now, as an agent, I'm sure you hear a lot of horror stories.
American Horror Stories?
Or just...
Just kidding. Great show, guys. Coming back.
Clients might be kind of a horror in a way. Bad things happen on set.
Life is... I'm taking the soundbite from Frank. Life is unfair and this industry is worse. I had a client that moved to do a show to become...
Hold on one second, because we have a horror stories intro.
Ooh.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
The f*** are you doing?
Everyone in this room is now dumber
for having listened to it.
Good.
So we have a horror story segment, and you were about to go and talk about...
No, but like, per Frank, life is unfair, and this industry is worse, which is extremely true, because you never know what could happen. When a client... moved and became a local because he was going to do that anyways for a specific show. Mm-hmm. And then the director's person got fired off another show. And then he took over from my client who moved there to become a local. So it was out of his hand. My person did nothing wrong. And then he was getting the boot. So you want to know something? There's a lot of horror stories, but there's also a lot of good stories too. There are a lot of mentors on set. Norm Buckley is a fantastic mentor too. I think... Usually when anybody joins the ACE, American Cinema Editors, they always thank him because he's always...
That makes sense.
Because he's fantastic, great editor, mm-hmm. great director. So there are horror stories, but there's also a lot of good that comes out of it. But at the end of the day, what you need to realize, we're making entertainment. It is what it is. The show Stitchers, I can be even more thrilled because I have a bunch of people that work on it. Mm-hmm. But the cinematographer, who is a great, dear, dear friend... just got his first Emmy nomination last week. So,
hot damn.
So,
congratulations.
So I think that's really, really cool. It's a show that I even helped get for him, so that makes me even happier. But I'm just excited for him because that's an awesome opportunity, and I want that for all my clients. Listen, you get an Emmy, you get an Oscar. Hey, it's kind of cool if you get a Razzie too sometimes. So yeah.
I would display that proudly.
Yeah. If I would display a gold Razzie over my mantle. I think that'd be kind of fun. What is that raspberry from? I'm like, oh, do you remember that movie I did right there that everybody thought was awful? I was given an award for it.
It was so bad.
Recognized.
Google it. You could Google my name and Razzie, and you'll see me on the press.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just there are a lot of good stories too, because I don't know about you guys. When I was growing up, I didn't know I want to grow up and be an agent. It sounds so amazing. No, I didn't know that. Like, it's something that I kind of fell into because I always just. I like this part of the business. I started out in music. I said I had a radio show, but I did music. And being in an office, being able to travel with clients and do TV and film, it's definitely a lot of people. It's a job that a lot of people would love to have.
Right.
It's like if you think about it, the TV, the entertainment industry, like everybody's like, oh, it's so sexy. it's sexy, and you know, it could be very unsexy too. It is what it is.
Yeah, you should be in my office after 12 hours. It's very unsexy.
Yeah, if you want to see JJ at his unsexiest,
he doesn't. At hour 12, his shirt comes off.
Yeah,
yep. And don't forget the pants.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's first actually.
That's only when you're Skyping.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. So it's stuff like that.
Well, I think a lot of people probably don't even realize that these type of jobs have an agent.
Oh, I know they like to call my
costume designer.
I know that they like to call my clients directly after they get. Like, I'll set up a meeting, and they know me, and I'll send them references, and then they'll call my client directly and make them an offer. Come on, and they know I'm in the picture. But other times, some people you want something at the end.
Well, if they were to do that to me, I'd have to say, well, you need to talk to my agent. Right?
And then you sound awesome.
We've had this conversation before. Yeah. Hey, you want to say my agent Brian will kill me if you talk money? But it's stuff like that because sometimes, A, people don't know, and that's the reality. That sometimes I didn't realize that you had an agent because this production executive told this producer to make a phone call and gave that person's contact directly. And that's when they just say, hey, listen, I'm actually represented. Give so-and-so a buzz, and they'll take care of it. Otherwise, I don't know, sometimes it is malicious. If I contacted the client directly, maybe they won't argue about the money because then they'll be more grateful for their job. But at the end of the day, my job is to protect my clients. And that means by papering up deals and making sure they're getting paid right. You're an editor on a TV show. There are three other editors on the show, two other editors with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to make less money than them. If the pilot editor is on the show, and it was on the show for, let's say, you join season two.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense that maybe, hey, this guy's been on for a little bit longer. He did the pilot. He get a little bit more. But if you're starting with somebody new or it's a brand new first season show, it should be a favored nations deal. Favored nations, I mean, we all get the same. Because I don't know about you, it sounds like in the editing room, people talk about money. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 we got this.
Not as much as you think. But
I think it depends. I think it depends on the people because there are people like, yo, so and so told me they're making this. Why the hell is he making $4 more than me? And you're like, you're get upset about $4. maybe it's just a mistake. And maybe
the principle.
Maybe they just rounded it up. I don't know what to tell you. But at the end of the day, like for me, my clients are very important to me. If there's a problem, I will massage it best as possible. But if a client is wrong, I'll say, listen, in all reality, this is the big picture, and let's talk about A, B, C, and D, because sometimes. This is an industry where it's kind of like musical chairs. There's so many very, very good, talented people, but sometimes there's not enough chairs for everybody. So has a job, but why am I not working? Versus, well, he's working and he just got fired from his job, and I'm here playing with myself. So like it isn't fair. But then you also have to look at the big picture. Well, I have a show. I'm flying, but I'm a DP and the union doesn't allow them to fly me business. Why am I flying coach? And then you look at your friends, you're like, well, my friends aren't working, so I should just be grateful that I have a job right now and it's coach, it is what it is, or I'll just pay for the upgrade. So it's looking at the big picture because at the end of the day, people try to make a little bit as much money as possible on these shows because you're freelancing.
Sure. Yeah.
You're not an in-house person. You're not an in-house DP, production designer, editor, director. Sometimes you just don't know what your next job is going to be. So that's the other big picture of it. Why does so-and-so make so much money? Because while I was driving here, I was listening to a repeat on Howard Stern when it was Conan O'Brien on it. And they offered him a big pay. Like, when he was going before Conan, his current show, he had a big network show, which they took away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, if it does badly, why should he be a week to week or whatever? But the question is, if something goes badly and your name becomes schlock, like you may not work for a little bit. Like that's the reality of it. You could go from making zero, not working for a year, and then getting an opportunity to do a pilot that goes to series and then make $300,000-$400,000 a year if you're a producer or something. So it's kind of like a magical business like that because you could really be down and out and then just like a light switch. Look at, what was it, Mickey Rourke? Look at his career. Like, he wasn't doing anything, and then here's The Wrestler, and now he's back.
Right.
So that's something that I think that's pretty cool about this industry.
Yeah.
You never know.
No, I've talked to writers who were a writer's assistant, then you get that bump to writer, and your salary, like, quadruples overnight. And it's kind of a crazy...
But then again, and you're like, well, what's the next show going to be after that?
Yeah. Though?
Because that's the hard part, because a lot of my friends are at that process right now. I have a friend that... So proud of her. She just became a writer on Chicago Fire the other day. I have another friend that's doing Hannibal, another one doing The Flash. But then I have other friends right now that are showrunners' assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, we're not going to make you a writer next season, but I will give you a story by credit. And that's an opportunity.
Yeah.
So it's just really looking at the opportunity and expanding and just understanding that maybe that one credit will not lead you to your Emmy or your Oscar or whatever, but it's a great start. And it's very helpful if it's a show that people heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Yes.
Otherwise, what does it do for you?
Nothing.
It could be very good, JJ.
Oh, congratulations. I win today.
Something or nothing.
Five points for JJ.
Well, as we wrap up, is there any other advice that you can give or any advice that you can give people that actually do want to be an agent and not just fall into it?
Well, I don't think I fell into it. I think I kind of...
Well, you said
you fell into it.
You said it yourself. We could rewind the tape if you want.
Cut it. The dog from the 1920s is here to...
Yeah, I don't know why I slip into that every now and then.
Well, I always... But the fact is, I thought it would be something kind of interesting, cool. Like I said, I worked in music. I helped sign bands and stuff like that previously. Mm-hmm. But it was... Being behind the scenes for me was something that was attractive. I didn't... Mm-hmm. When I came out to L.A., I interviewed at basically every agency that was out here. And I took the opportunity where I saw maybe, hey, I could make agent here the fastest. But did I know I wanted to be a physical production agent? No, I watched Entourage. I want to be Ari. I wanted to like represent these people. And then I realized, no, I don't. I really don't want to do that. So I got very, very lucky with that. Advice for people that want to be an agent. Read books. Read as much as possible. Know what's happening. Read the trades. Know what's happening in the industry. Know what's happening in TV and film. Network. You never know who you're going to meet. Never say no to somebody, because if you say no, people know no. If someone asked me to do something when I was an assistant and I didn't have the idea how to do it, I said, let me look into it. I'll get right back to you. It's being positive. It's being the person that people want to be working with. Like I said, this is a lifestyle. This is not a 9-to-5. If you want a 9-to-5, there are other jobs that are much more suitable for that. For this right now, it's really, really important for you to understand that this is the service industry. I work in the service industry. My job is to listen. My job is to massage. Not actually give massages, but it's...
Massage egos.
Not egos either. But it's really, I'm making sure that my clients have a well-being and can pay for their well-being. You have a mortgage. You have a car lease. We live in L.A. You have public school versus private school. Private schools are very expensive. You have college coming up for your kids. It's making sure that your clients are, A, happy, working on good projects, and or getting paid very, very healthy to do otherwise. But also, I don't know, just making sure that they're a part of this still. People wonder, why do I need an agent? Because you want to know something? Maybe I introduce you to somebody as a general meeting, and they don't have a job for you for a year, but then they send you a board and a budget, you do a great job, then they have you do the pilot, and then that pilot goes on for seven years. You never know. That's the beautiful thing about this industry, because things get older all the time. That's the cool thing about TV right now. You have the network season, then you have the cable season, but stuff, it used to be if you didn't get a pilot, you had to wait for series staffing. It's not that way anymore. Yeah. There are jobs happening all the time, and I'm sure you guys see that too. This was ordered today. We're making a remake of Coach. We're doing this. We're doing that. And that's good for everybody, because that's going to give an opportunity to somebody that may not have been the opportunity for a pilot or a series, but here's who's available. Like one of our young editors, he's doing a $9 million movie. And his last movie he did was, I think, a $600,000, $500,000 movie. And he got this opportunity because they needed somebody with an EU passport. Nobody else was available because they wanted to get the tax break.
Right.
So they met this guy and they liked him. And did we get him the rate for a $9 million movie? We tried our best, but here's a guy that's never done that. So we got him a new quote. He's pleased as a dog and shit right now, but he's big and shit right now because he's working on a big movie and he has the tools that he needs. And it could, who knows? This movie could do nothing. It could be huge. It could go to Cannes. Right. That's what we look at. We read scripts. We'll tell a client, hey, listen, these are the perks of the project. Or we'll say, hey, you want something? This is a favorite project because this is your friend. Or this is something, hey, why don't we pass because it's going to be a lot busier and there's going to be better stuff out there for you. So it's really just being, we're advisors.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to tell somebody that wanted to be an agent, don't give up. Like the fact is, it's like I said, it's a lifestyle. And if you want to be home every night and not network and go to drinks and not read scripts and stuff, there are other jobs for you in the industry, which are fantastic as well. But for me, I like knowing about every project that's out there. I like to be at the brain, the source of everything. And it's really, really heartwarming to see your client's name on a feature film on the big screen or TV. They become your kids, and it's something that you're very, very proud of. And when the show gets nominated for an Emmy, and it says, hopefully in the future for you as well, and you guys as well, it's great for everybody, and it's really rewarding. And you want to say, unfortunately, sometimes bad things happen to good people. It's just any industry, so you just have to bite your lip and just be like, hey, look, today's a new day. What's going to happen to me today? Because I had a week where it seemed like I lost a lot of jobs from my clients to other people's clients.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have your own week where you just destroy everybody else. And they're like, oh, my God, Brian just had a great week or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's you never know. That's the cool thing. And it could be, hey, I put you up for this job. Oh, my neighbor is best friends with the showrunner. I'll have them put a good word. You do that. I'm going to talk to the producer. I'm going to talk to the production executive. And I'm going to email your stuff to the director. So you have to hit it at everybody. One thing, if you notice on TV and film these days, executive producers, how many EPs are becoming part of this? There are a lot of people in the decision-making process. So for me, at the end of the day, you have to have the teamwork right now. The moment you get an agent, you don't go to the beach and go hang out unless you invite me. It's on a Saturday. We have a great time. We have some beers and some dogs, whatever. I'm all for that. But you still have to do what you're doing because it just gets more and more competitive out there. You have kids graduating from USC where they get an Arri Alexa or a Red camera as a graduation gift. So on a small film, do I hire the DP who's experienced, knows how to use it, or here's the person that has a camera package?
Right.
Or here's a movie that we need an editor for. Do we want to go to Tunnel Post or another post facility, or do we want to find the guy who has an Avid at home that could cut from home and lives nearby because the director's going to be coming by there, or can we move your Avid to the director's house so you can go there every well? There's just so many different little things that happen in regards to this type of stuff. So it's really just you have to be a good listener.
And open to change, I would imagine, as well.
You have to.
Be able to go with the flow.
You have to. Otherwise, you get lost. And listen, like I said, you could have a really, really shitty month, and then the next month you never know. You could be on an airplane going to work on Game of Thrones. You don't know.
That would be pretty
nice.
That's just the coolest thing about this industry. You just never know, and sometimes it's about need, it's about timing, and sometimes it's just about luck besides just skill.
I also had one more question.
Riddle me this.
So you just gave advice on if people want to become agents. What if people like, you know, JJ before you met you or found you, like at what point do people look for an agent? How can you tell a good agent from a bad agent?
You want to know something? It's all about talking to your buyers too. If you're on your way up and if you're an assistant editor and you just got your first editing credit, it may not be the right time to get an agent just yet, unless they say, mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you're coming back for next season and if you want to get representation, yes or no, that's up to you. And that might be a good time because then you're able to go to an agent saying, bird in hand, hey, I have a job coming up. Would you negotiate for me? Blah, blah, blah. If that came to me, I say, listen, I'll do your deal, but we'll do it as a reduced commission and we'll go from there and we'll use that as a starting board. If you have a credit, how do you know if an agent's good or bad? Talk to your friends. I'm sure if you're in this industry and you're an editor, you're a DP, some of your friends are represented. Some people will say, my agent never got me a job. I really don't think that's true. They may have got you a general meeting that led to an opportunity, that led to a show for 3 years, then we got a new job. You don't know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's a really, really small world. Talk to your buyers. Who do you like doing business with? Well, Brian's very fair. He fights for his clients, and he's never a jerk. And you don't want somebody... There are agents out there that do what I do, and I just know the producers, like, they'll be like... put them through. So it's just like, but that's not good. Like for me, it's just like, hey, we need somebody. Let's call Brian. He usually has pretty good ideas. Mm-hmm. So for me at the end of the day, it's somebody that people are well respected, somebody that knows the buyers out there. And it doesn't hurt that they have good clients too, because sometimes jobs trickle down. Hey, we want this editor for this TV series. Well, that editor's A is not available and B is not looking to do television right now, but may I send you 3 other ideas of people that are extremely appropriate for your job, that just did a similar show, even with your same studio. So it's thinking smartly and just also understanding that sometimes you're on a TV show. Your TV show this is the final season of the show. You're on you have a couple weeks left, but here may be a new opportunity that might go for 8 more months. Do you stay loyal or is it try to find somebody to replace you for the last part of the show. And it's that, and that's a communication that you have with your agent. Hey, this is something that's happening right now. Can we talk about A, B, and C? And what's your thoughts versus A and B? And what is the showrunner doing next? Does he have anything, or is he on his way out? It's just when
you kind of have to have a State of the Union email chain going. You know,
it's not even email, but like for me, like. If a client calls my office, and if I can't take that call at that moment, they will usually hear back from me within 2 hours. Then the client will shoot me an email, hey, give me a call, this is regarding this. The more information I have, this the quickest. If it's regarding something, hey, they're letting go. One of my buddies is an assistant editor on a show, and they let go an editor. And he shot me a note, hey, we're going to need somebody here. Please reach out to the post producer. And I said, will do. I appreciate the heads up. I was the first person in, and I don't know. It took a couple of weeks to finally get my client hired, mm-hmm. but I was the first person in. And sometimes being the first person in gets you that opportunity.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, I have clients that go on meetings, and they're like, well, I don't want to be the first interviewer because then they're just going to compare everybody to me. But I've also had clients be the first interview. No, but then I've also had clients be the first interview, and then they cancel all the interviews after that because they found the person that they wanted. So you never know.
Right.
You never know, but... If you're a client of mine, you show up on time for the interview. You read the script. You do as much homework as possible, and you go nail it. Because my job is to get you in the room. My job is to get people interested in you. And once you get in the room, you gotta sell yourself because I can't be there either. Like I've had clients that are going from features to commercials. Mm-hmm. Now are trying to get to TV. They've never done one of these TV meetings. And it's me advise them what to expect in A and B and C. And so I'm like, can you come with me? I'm like, that would not be good for anybody if I was there right now. Because I try to do more talking in the room anyways. I love to talk. So it's being smart.
Is it equivalent, like, bringing your agent to a meeting is like bringing, like, your mom to, like, an interview at the supermarket where it's just like, leave them there. Like, this is a job for you.
You go shop for eggs and it'll come out when I'm done.
I don't know. I've never worked at a supermarket, but I
have.
But I was.
Did your mom go to the interview?
I told her to stay in the car.
but I did go food shopping with my mom when I was in high school or middle school, and she became friendly with the woman that worked at the... at that specific lane in the food store, and she taught me how to bag pretty quickly. So
nice.
It's a good skill.
It's a great skill. Prior to living in California, to pay $0.10 for a bag or bring your own bag. Yeah. So you know,
yep.
It is what it is.
I'm lazy. I'm just like, yeah, give me a bag.
Just give me all the bags.
Yeah.
Guys, here's $1. I want 10 bags. Yeah. Oh, you got 10 bags. Here's a free bag.
Yeah.
Hey, 11. Guys, I'm gonna kill myself. I'm gonna suffocate myself. This 11 bag. Thank
give
you
us your
so
punch
much.
Card. We'll give you the
exactly. So it's stuff like that. I don't know. It's just being smart because a lot of people want to do what you're doing. And we're all blessed to be in this industry, and we're all blessed to be able to have fun, have a conversation and joke about all this stuff right now. But, you know, it's very competitive. And sometimes the right person doesn't get the job for specific reasons, not being the person thought right for it, but so-and-so had put his brother is a part of the show or he's a part of the studio. Sometimes you get an assistant editor or somebody on your camera crew or an assistant that you don't want to work with, but you have to do it to appease somebody. Listen, you give everybody a shot because, A, you never know. You never know. You may be given somebody like, well, you know, never worked with them, but then that person might become your guy or your girl for the rest of your career, and then you watch them blossom into that mm-hmm. craft as well.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just it's being open-minded, and you have to be open-minded to change and to whatever's thrown at you because you don't know. And for me, like I said, I don't have a crystal ball. I go into work every day excited because you don't know what project's going to be looking for somebody. You don't know if somebody's going to get nominated for something. You know, a client gets fired off a show, but then they want to hire another client. So everybody still wins. And then you have to find another job for your other client. It's not a fair industry, but no industry is fair. If you wanted a fair industry, I don't know what we'd do. Win the lottery?
But
then the government takes half.
Yeah, they take all your taxes.
So it's just that. Just go into it and be excited and be grateful because we're doing something pretty cool. We work in entertainment. And I know, I don't know how many people want my job. Like, just because it is cool, it is sexy, but it's also a job. Right. So there are good days and there are bad days. But you also have to understand, it's pretty cool what we're doing. It could be a whole lot worse. We could be living in Minnesota right now. And to any of the listeners in Minnesota right now, I apologize.
You're really burning bridges here, Brian.
I know, but like
with Minnesotans. It's cold in Minnesota.
No, but the fact is, you could do this. But think about it. Like there are. My dad's a dentist. My dad has a very successful dentistry business, and none of the kids became dentists.
Sure.
I'd be living in New Jersey, and I'd be putting my hands in people's filthy mouths. Lovely. No, but there are just so many other things that you could do as well, and it's like your friends that come out here to be actors. If you have to give it more than a year. Yep. You have to work hard. You have to hustle. But you never. Ooh, you just never know.
Yeah, it takes 8 years to become an overnight success. Right?
I thought it was closer to 10 nowadays, but yeah, you never know. Right. But the fact is, you have TV shows, and I'll shut up after this. You have TV shows that are it's actor specific. You need to have it's a cast contingent, so you need to have this cast to make it get ordered. How many out of work actors do we have in LA, and you can't find somebody for one of these damn shows, so the show never gets made.
Right,
like. What I like is some of these movies where you actually make stars, or some of these TV shows where you don't know somebody and now they're an overnight success. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like for me, I don't know. I thought it was really, really cool that Gina Rodriguez won a Globe for Jane the Virgin.
Yeah.
And she came out of Philly Brown was her movie at Sundance, and then she did a couple other projects, and then she got an overall deal, and that's what they put her on, and now. She's doing great, and she's cool, and she's appreciative. I like seeing that. I like seeing new people versus going to a movie, and you know that actor, and you know he's going to be the bad guy, and he's going to do something dickish.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
Michael Ironside and everything.
No, but you know what I'm saying. It's nice to get out of the box and watch something and get entertained by it and get into it. And that's what I like. I'm passionate about TV. I'm passionate about film. I'm passionate about entertainment, going to a concert, going to a show, whatever, suck me in and make me interested and make me want to watch your show live every week, or can't wait for the sequel or whatever, because I want to be involved. So for me at the end of the day, it's just really keep doing what you're doing, being smart, and just be creative, because you never know. Who would have thought Modern Family would be a success like this? When I saw the pilot, I knew the pilot was going to be huge, but like it's about a somewhat functional / dysfunctional family. How many other shows have been that way?
Yeah.
Right.
But
a lot of them.
No, but it's good writing, it's good directing, it's good acting, it's great crew. You're nobody without your crew. I think that's something that people have to realize. Yes, you could have an actor, but guess what? Your actor may do a really crappy job, and your editor might just remake that damn movie. That's why I think DPs and editors make... Besides just directors and anybody else, producers, they make really, really good directors because they understand footage, they understand story. We're telling a story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today.
You made me drive.
Well done.
All the way deep into the valley, you made me drive.
I know.
Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from the other side of the hill.
Oh, all right.
Gross.
All
right. All day. So, good.
If someone or to need representation, can they contact you directly?
Well, not on my cell phone, please. My name is Brian Goldberg. I'm an agent at an agency called WPA, Worldwide Production Agency. You could Google it, go to the website, see a cute little picture of me too, and my biography.
Nice.
No, but if you think it's the right time and you've done your homework and you're not an actor, I get actor solicitations a lot of times too.
They're the worst. We don't take actors either, Brian.
We just date them. But if you do your homework and it's right, and you think I'd be a good fit, or if you're just looking for a little advice, I don't have time to read everybody's script right now. It's just too many pages right there, and usually they're really, depending on the script, you know how they are.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that. So no, I'm always happy to take advice. I'm always happy to meet people because you never know. So it's just being that optimist out there that I think a lot of people aren't nowadays. I think a lot of people get like, whatever. I know people that reach out to people in regards to emailing them, say, hey, would you be open to talking to me about representation, or hey, how are you? And they don't even get responses back. If anybody ever emails me,
it's just rude.
If you just email me with some information, I'm the guy that says, copy that, okay. So you know it actually got read. It didn't go to my spam or delete it, or
nice.
I just ignored it. I think that's important. You're taking the time to write me. I take the time to write back to you. So for me, at the end of the day, I think JJ is pretty good at understanding. If you reach out to me, I'm pretty quick to respond.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
And that's something that I pride myself on. Listen, there are sometimes on my weekends, my phone goes off, but for the most part, I'm always reachable. So if someone wants to talk and is interested in talking further or picking my brain, happy to grab a coffee.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice. That's terrific. Awesome.
As always, you guys can email questions to us at earlycalltime@gmail.com. You can tweet us
at earlycalltime.
You have Twitter?
Yeah, we do.
We do. Mm.
Instagram.
Insta picture.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Instabook. That's it.
Yeah. And you could also tweet Nadav directly.
Oh, yeah. You could tweet me at all of us. Very Nadav Show. That's where I am on Twitter.
And I'm at JJGeiger711.
And I'm the real Zuber.
Yeah.
I'm not on Twitter.
And Brian is not on
so
Twitter.
So you can't reach Brian. That's all right. But yeah. You know where he works and who he lives and who he works with. So that's good enough, right?
Yeah.
With that being said.
Yeah. Write in letters, send in horror stories. And with that being said, what were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.